Now we have here Arvid Rikwate from Univention, who will talk about experiences of integrating Samba into a real product.
Fine. So, again, about Univention. Our main product is Univention Corporate Server. It's a Linux distribution with a domain concept and domain management, so identity management. We have specialized solutions like UCS at school for school environments. I'm going to talk about that a bit later. We are selling product licenses and service, so customizations and so on, that go back partly into the product again. We are currently 40 employees and based in Bremen, Germany. So Univention Corporate Server is a Debian-based Linux distribution. It's 100% open source, offering a Microsoft-like domain concept. We have Samba 3 NT and Samba 4 AD Windows domain control, depending on what you choose. It's backed by open LDAP directory services, and the identity management is done via web interface or Python or command line RP. The usual domain services are there, DNS, DHCP, and so on, up to virtualization. The other product I'm going to talk about is UCS at school. It's a specialized solution for distributed branch site requirements of school departments. The main point here is selective replication to the branch sites. So the milestones of our integrating Samba 4 into our product, that's an overview. The initial product release of UCS 3, this was the 3.0 release, featured Samba 4, active domain control, and it was released in December 2011. The integration into UCS at school a little bit later, featuring selective replication in June 2012, so half a year later, and Then we had a project with a CT computer magazine in Germany. We made a CT edition for Active Directory Small Business Server Takeover. This was published in December 2012. And in the same month, we released UCS 3.1, so the first minor update, with Samba 4 RC6. This was done one day before the official 4.0 release, or really more after. Well, anyway. And finally, the update, we are now updated to official Samba 4.03 as of February this year. So going through the points, we are the first enterprise Linux distribution integrating Samba 4, or we have been. UCS 3.0 was released one day before 4.0. It's based on Samba 4 Alpha 17 plus upstream Git patches. It was based on Alpha 4 17 and used Open LDAP as primary management backend. So we employed a bi-directional synchronization with Samba 4 with the Univention S4 connector. And this was made possible by a fruitful collaboration with Stefan Metzmacher at Zernet for the password hash and Kerberos ticket synchronization, as well as file and print integration. At that time, we used a Frankie-style approach for file and print, so we started SMBD and NMBD separately alongside Samba. The first release featured, ID management via web, as well as from AD users and computers tool. We had multi-DC operation at DC function level 2008 R2. For sysfile replication, we use rsync cron, and GPO administration at that time was only possible as with the administrator account, not with domain admins, also done with a Microsoft tool. DDNS updates against BIN 9 backend were working. We had no SNTP time sync enabled by default at that point, and schema updates are disabled by default. This is also to this day. The first productive UCS3 Samba 4 site was the Landtag Brandenburg, so the local parliament of the federal state of Brandenburg in Germany. They were as early, like really early birds, as February 2012, with a very couraged at that time, with a couple of Samba 4 DCs and Samba 3 file servers. So we recommended and still kind of recommend to use Samba 3 as file servers and Samba 4 for lock-on and authentication control. 1 month later, the head of IT of the, that department gave a customer experience presentation at the CeBIT fair, so we were pretty eager to give a good picture. and the, he gave generally positive feedback despite some issues we had. Well, I'm going to talk about some issues. So here we start. One single machine account, for example, lost all object classes. He had three Samba 4 DCs. It looks like one of the DCs got, I don't know, replication from two sites and messed that up, and I don't know, it was lost. We discovered this only by chance because the NTP signed D was ZAC faulting, and the customer was complaining that their cores are lying around, and well, we tracked that down. But it was a singular incident, never experienced again. Then we had a ZAC fault in the directory ACL code due because our machine accounts didn't have an attribute DNS domain, which was expected at that point. So we submitted a patch, which got accepted as well in Samba. Then the customer complained about excessive memory consumption of DRAPL and RPC server, which was at that time was a bit hard to debug because you had only about 12 Samba processes, and when one crashed, if you had a core dump, you could make dissect the corpse, but and find out who died, but not from looking at the process list. So we asked Andrew, for example, to give us some means to see from to judge from the process IDs which process is serving which purpose. Yeah. So you can easier find what problems are there. Yeah, and we found that Samba 2 DRS show REPL was quite flaky. It kind of is sometime. I'm going to show an example later. Okay, half a year later, we had the select. We have published UCS at school release, also with Samba 4 support, so the customer can choose Samba 3, Samba 4. It's a one-time choice, though. Well, the main point was selective replication. This was still based on the same code base, but it had more emphasis on open LDAP replication as the primary, let's say, bus for information throughout the domain. So we were able to do selective replication filtering via LDAP ACLs, which is not possible by DRS, apparently. It's strange, but well. We have this concept of so-called slave PDCs. We had it already in UCS2 with Samba 3, and now we ported it simply to UCS3 Samba 4 because that was what the customers expected and what we are to deliver. The UCS CT edition was for Samba 4 Active Directory takeover. It was the issue of the German computer magazine CT, was published in the beginning of December 2012. It had a, presumably it has a large audience. It was targeted at conversions of Microsoft Small Business Server installations. And we implemented a scripted takeover, so it's a one Python script, and a magazine how-to. So basically, you run the script, and at one point, because we don't have sysOil replication yet, and we don't have cron on the Active Directory, or rsync, we simply say, OK, no, head over to your Active Directory, execute this command to copy the sysOil contents with all the NTACLs, and then shut it down, and then finalize. Okay, and finally, the minor updates were UCS 3.1 released on December 12th, one day after, no, it's really one day after the official Samba 4.0 release. It was still based on a bit earlier code, Samba 4 RC6 plus upstream patches, because, well, naturally, we froze our code a couple of days before the official Samba 4. We have incident-based support by Andrew Bartlett, which we continue to use if something happens which we cannot, which is beyond our understanding at this point. Then in March 2013, so this year, we published the patch level update 3.1.1, which shipped then finally some official Samba 4, 403, again, plus patches. Plus patches means we have a couple of patches that are not going to make it upstream, and we have backported a couple of patches from upstream that increase stability or address some issues. The latest Samba 3 to Samba 4 migration, to talk also a little bit about migration, not only new installations, was last Thursday. It's a scale of 8 Samba 4 DCs distributed across Germany. I faced some interesting, I was holding hand with a customer over remote support, and I faced some interesting initial replication problem on one of the DCs. I'm going to show you a slide a bit later, which was nonetheless solvable with one manual intervention. So one thing, and then everything worked again. The other thing with the replication was that I saw really high load after joining like the N plus one DC. And the load was, I don't know, it got, it started like for about 10 minutes. And then with each newly added DC, the replication time took, the initial replication time took longer. So basically, you say Samba 2 domain join. I mean, we don't do it manually, but that's what happens. And then once that is finished and it replicated all the basic crucial data, it starts to replicate with all the other DCs. And this seems to, well, get to not scale well at this point. Yeah. Okay, so short overview how we integrated it, because it's kind of interesting. OpenLDAP Samba 4 talked about it goals. The Univention S4 connector is a piece of Python code mainly. It offers bidirectional selective synchronization of, ID management objects, users groups, machine accounts with password hashes, not clear text. DNS records, and for UCS at school, we implemented GPO and GPLink replication, containers, organization units. And this connector is running only on one DC. It's installed on all of them, but only one, the first one, the provision one says, okay, I'm the service now. So you have like a bridge between this multi-master Samba 4 replication and the single master open LDAP replication. But it really doesn't matter on which DC it runs, it just has to be one. That's a course sketch about how this is done. So you have here the web administration, You create a user, it goes into OpenLDAP. There's some listener listening, so it's like an overlay module, but a little bit, it's asynchronous, so it doesn't block. And this triggers the S4 connector daemon to do a replication. And he replicates this via LDAP I interface locally without any restrictions into the LDAP interface of the SUMBER4 directory. So the tasks are kind of separated. You have to do POSIX UID allocation on your hosting system, because it's Linux. And on the other hand, you have the AD world with the SIDs. So the Univention directory manager, the Python code, allocates the POSIX UIDs and does the conflict management for object naming and UIDs, and has OpenLDAP listening on non-standard ports. And then you have SUMBER4 on the regular LDAP port, which is doing the allocation of RIDs, which are then synced back to OpenLDAP. This is the default setup. In UCS at school, we do it differently. The replication scheme kind of looks like this. So you have here three example DCs. The first one is hosting the S4 connector. This is this green bidirectional arrow. He has OpenLDAP and SUMBER4. You have another one here, also running SUMBER4, and you have a third one not hosting SUMBER4, but maybe SUMBER3 as a file server, or no SUMBER at all. And you have now two replication buses, more or less. So you have here the multi-master DRS replication between the SUMBER4s, and you have here the single master LDAP replication initiated by the master. RID allocation, as I said, is done by SUMBER4. We have to reconcile these two worlds, like POSIX UIDs and SIDs or RIDs. We have integrated identity management, identity mapping. This is just the same stack here, and it's another listener module, the ID map module, which is triggered every time a new relation is visible, like POSIX UID, RID for any object. If something new happens there, it updates the ID map LDB for SAMBA. WinBind can look up the current associations there. Here a short how this IDMAP LDB looks like. It's more or less like these IDMAP entries that used to be in LDAP. So you have the SID, you have a type, and you have the XID number. X is for either U or G. The XID type is proved to be important for us. It's an important feature because usually SUMBER4 creates the users with ID type both. So when it looks up your POSIX ID, it says, I don't care, I just have this POSIX ID, convert it to a RID. And we say, we have overlapping POSIX IDs, so we must have some kind of means to distinguish that. So that's why our module uses this distinction, so it writes ID type UID or ID type GID.
We added the ID type both to be able to handle that.
Yeah, it works surprisingly good and increasingly good with the SUMBER4 releases. At the beginning, we had some problems, now mainly you have your ACLs as F ACLs in the file system where this is not a problem. You simply have the IDs. And the NTACLs work as well. And you have this this transition with this hashed FACL, so it works. The last time I debugged it, I thought, oh yeah, there was this thing that it said, oh, and the Linux has site has modified something, so I throw away the NTACLs. But this seems to have been reconciled. It was actually some point where I had headaches. how we get this done, and we discussed with Andrew. But well, right now it works. In UCSS School, we do it a bit differently. As I said, we are relying mainly on OpenLDAP to replicate to the branch sites. So here on top, you have your headquarters. It's the same picture as before. And then you have here a branch site, and you see there is no red DRS replication going down there, but only OpenLDAP. So you can have this filtering here. And you have another sum before, which is simply, it's not joined into the site, but it's simply, you simply run a provision and say, hey, here provision, you have here your domain zip. And so it thinks that it's alone and it's a plain PDC. That's why we call this concept slave PDC. We had it in Samba 3, as I said, again, as well. So it was more or less straightforward to do this. And well, the data for the Samba 4 here is fueled by this open LDAP here. In this case, not like how do we deal with a Windows client joining into the branch site? Because now we have kind of split brain situation, because this one thinks he is a PDC and this one thinks he is a PDC, so we have to take care that well, some kind of RID master is there. So we implemented an LDB module, which we put here into the DSDB stack, and which intercepts or gets called when a machine joins the DC here, and it simply does an LDAP call to an LDAP add to the master open LDAP, and this is either it fails, then the user is there, or it doesn't fail, then it's created. So it's kind of it's an atomic operation. And when it fails, well, it simply exit and bails out, and the join fails. So in this case, the central master is doing the RID allocation because, well, he has to be the RID master. And the RID is replicated down there, and it's updated in the Samba 4. Yeah, it's a pretty blunt concept, but it works. Yeah, we are running on DLZBind 9. Some minor adjustments were necessary. For example, we have the data stored in CN Microsoft DNS. So this is kind of Windows 2000 convention, and not in the application partitions yet. Because at the time we implemented it, there was only the CN Microsoft DNS, and Amitai introduced the other ones later. We have prepared now that we can switch at some later time, but it was a little bit unclear how things develop, and so we didn't touch it yet and said, well, it works like it does. No one cares at this moment, so let's see. Because we want to be as compliant with Samba 4 development as possible. As we can. Yeah, so Kerberos DDNS updates were working transparently pretty much from the start. So issues and some cases. One funny thing was NTP synchronization to the Windows client. When you join a Windows client to an AD domain, it automatically detects the DC and says, can you give me the time? And well, we had some issues that it didn't work. And here's a funny quote by Mathieu. I warned him yesterday. I used to have some haircut as Richard Stallman before dealing with SMTP, and now I look more like Bruce Willis, so with a shaved head or torn out. it improved? Ah, yes. the gist was that apparently the DC, the Samba 4 DC, had to be synchronized to some upstream NTP server. And, well, we had the problem as well, so it was a bit flaky. Sometimes it works, sometimes not. And it depended a bit on the DC it was using and on the NTP configuration on the DC. And, well, we found out that this is an output of this command line tool of Windows, where it asks, like, what did you take, which one? And it correctly says, this is my peer here. And in the NTP configuration, we had stratum 10. And you see that the Windows client doesn't take it, because here you have stratum 0 unspecified, and you have a timeout here, which is completely, I mean, the thing is reachable. And at this point here, the stratum should be 11, because it's increased with every hop. So we also found that when we sync the DC master to upstream, everything works. But we say, yeah, but people don't have it every time, and especially in our test environments, we have virtual machines. NTP does some strange things, so, but the Windows clients should simply synchronize to this beast. And we found that it's pretty simple. When you have the Windows client simply doesn't accept any DC strata larger than 9. I don't know in which base they are calculating and what overflow happens, but apparently when you put your stratum on the DC maximum 9, the Windows client is fine and picks it up immediately. So we simply rescaled our strata because it was just arbitrary numbers ordering the master from the slaves. So we put it now to 5 and 9 or something, and now everything works fine, which avoids a lot of hassles for the support and for the end user, because, well, if time synchronization doesn't work, nothing, basically nothing works of the AD features that you want to have because of Kerberos. And another environment, I call it the Roswell incident, because it was actually a customer with a handful of Samba 4 AD sites distributed across the USA. And the main site was actually located in Roswell, so we were making fun all the time about their problems. Because at some point when you are, I'm not working in support, but the support department at some point says, I don't believe it. and I have to like think, but the customer obviously has this problem. So show me the logs. And yeah, so we went there remotely and looked into it. And basically, when the most striking case was first that one DC, they had, as I said, different sites, also Active Directory sites. So they had, a site A in Roswell and a site B in some other place. And they decided to join, a third DC into this site B. So there was already one DC. And, well, the DC simply picked this one at its local site because they had configured it properly. And, well, they ended up, well, when I looked at it, that the sum LDB on the RIT master was inconsistent. There were some deleted objects and broken references, like backlinks. So I used Samba tool dbcheck, which showed the problems, and I fixed them with dbcheck fix, which did a real proper job. Well, it deleted basically the DC object, all DC objects, but well, we needed to join new anyway. So be careful with dbcheck fix. Do a backup first. And well, we joined again, and still no red set, so no local account creation possible. And there were other replication problems as well. So it initially looked like timeouts happening due to some low network bandwidth or something. So we saw this, for example, in SambaTool DRS show REPL, and you see, well, a bunch of possible error messages, a nice collection, bad net response, semaphore timeout, and bad file, for example. And that's not my favorite. My favorite is general failure, but which is not that bad. Well, the replication issues finally could be tracked down, in this case, to some VAN accelerator joined into the domain, which, well, simply messed up things. And we saw at least one a similar thing in some entirely different customer scenario, where RIT application failed as well, but there was no such thing. So I don't know, this RIT pool allocation is kind of flaky. I don't know how. Well, I had to fix the problem somehow, and I knew from Metze that there was this get and t changes script somewhere in the repository. So I looked it up, dug it out, looked at it, and tried to grasp what should be done with it. And finally, it's pretty straightforward that you can call this FSMO RIT alloc, send it to the RIT master, and he creates the RIT pool for you, and it gets replicated. Well, I said already that we had we sometimes experience flaky behavior of this show REPL, DRS show REPL, and well, a typical thing is that it either takes really long, but then it comes, or it aborts like this. Well, it says its own identity and its own GeoIDs of the partitions and so on, and then it stops at listing the inbound neighbors, simply internal error. And then if you see it the first time, you're like, heart attack. And sometimes DRS, SambaTool DRS KCC seem to help. Sometimes a Samba 4 restart, but then when it's replicating, you don't want to interfere, maybe. I'm at least a bit cautious. But these failures always have been transient, so maybe it's related to Samba replication load or some blockage, I don't know. So it's more or less purely cosmetic, but well, when you sit there and you have other problems, then this on top can make the day. Okay, and last Thursday, this Samba 3 to Samba 4 migration. There it is, my favorite general failure. One of the DCs showed general failure for replication, not für, for, of the domain partition, so the main one, to another DC. All the others were working, just this one didn't work. So this partition didn't work to this specific DC. And LogSamba showed some conflict, so it says, resolving conflict record via existing rename. So it wanted to say to rename this into this backslash 0a conflict object. And then, which was bad enough because I think, well, why do you have, I mean, it's an initial join. And then the next thing, it says, oh, I cannot remove this because it's an essential object and well, it's there anyway. So, and finally we're left with these messages. It's really shortened down, but it's like reappeared all the time. So I simply went there, dumped this object on the master and on the DC slave. I saw that the master object had a higher use and change. So this one would really be the one that would be chosen. So I deleted this object simply by LDB edit from the sum LDB on the DC slave. And after that, replication continued okay directly. So like, this gives you kind of confidence that you can deal with these situations. But well, we would rather not to have this kind of excitement. So outlook, or rather wrap up. Did we open a can of worms by including, by stepping onto the sum before so early? Honestly, I don't think so. I was also unsure if it's a good idea to be that courageous. But certainly after 1.5 years, it does not look and feel bad. So we have filed about 20 Samba bugs in between, and more than 10 of them are fixed today, a couple of us by us ourselves. And all the problems we had were localized really well. So you didn't have any, like you have this idea, multi-master replication, oh my god, when something goes bad, it will replicate and you have a mess. But what we saw that these problems were always solvable by some unique intervention on 1DC. So all in all, we're happy not to depend 100% on DRS replication yet, but that we have the open LDAP bus, because in the end, when everything goes bonkers on some DC, you simply say, okay, let's get this Samba directory out of the way and join Samba simply again, and it will replicate and everything's fine. Yeah, we are looking forward to exciting new possibilities with this setup, and I want to give special credits from my side personally to Metze and Andrew, and also Mathieu, for their insight and advice. And thank you, and thank you to all the Samba team.
You are great on time, so we have a lot of time for many questions. Any questions here? Oh.
Well, it's not completely a question. Do you have a trace for your strange replication problem?
You mean the one in the US? Or?
Yeah, the last one you showed with the stuff that was...
Yeah, we could probably retrieve that. If you're remotely supporting, it was Himmelfahrt in Germany. It's like a death commando, and it was like a public holiday. So I was remotely supporting, and then you have to be really quick to do things. So I snatched some traces and saved them, but not everything. So maybe we can file a bug for that. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I know that when you are usually in a hurry and you have your that is down or not in a good state, you are usually more thinking of bringing it up as quick as you can.
Yes.
But maybe just grabbing a correct network trace with all the Kerberos exchange, which is very important. All the Kerberos exchange, because most probably you have, so it's interesting to replay the DRS stuff. And yes. If you don't have a TCP dump trace with...
Okay, now TCP dump we definitely have not at that point, but... some logs, so.
Okay, logs might be useful. TCP dump trace.
I don't think that we would have get a clearance for running TCP dump in that environment. So, yes, but it's always a bit difficult where the customer is always like, yeah, something is wrong. Ah, let's do it again. And you're like, come on, let's first analyze and get an idea what's going wrong. So we don't mess up totally here. Yeah. But in the end, it worked really nice. They are happy. They called on Monday and said, yeah, fine, brilliant. But we will see how things develop. I mean, maybe in a month or so, we are standing there again and looking at it. But I mean, in the end, it helps the Samba the whole Samba operation, because if we don't go out and we don't have courageous customers and, well, our courageous board of that is leading the company and investing money into supporting them, then, well, you never find these bugs. So
any more questions? If you're too shy now, just remember you can always go to him in the coffee break and ask more questions. Oh, you're not shy.
So just out of personal interest, what's stopping you from using the internal DNS server?
There's one Debian developer sharing my office. It's Moritz Mühlenhoff, and he's doing the security at our place, and he would rip my head off. Because you don't, I mean, from my perspective, I said the same about the LDAP server with respect to Open LDAP or LDB. I don't think it's a, like the most brilliant idea to replace things just like that and to say, well, okay, you have 10 years of experience, but that's all worth nothing because we can do it faster with a couple of lines. I don't want to, it's a good effort.
I'm just saying
we're not happy with Mine 9, but we are simply, we have the infrastructure right like it is, and we didn't want to rip out another piece. If it proves to be the primary strategy of the Samba team, then fine, we will reconsider. But yeah.
I'm just saying, so I mean, we didn't have the exposure yet, so I can't say anything about the security of the code.
Yeah.
But a lot of the bind security bugs are in the marshalling and demarshalling of the packets,
yeah,
which is handwritten code there, whereas the internal DNS server just uses the same auto-generated code feature that is used by the rest of Samba and has seen a lot of testing and seems to be pretty decent.
Yes.
So from a security perspective, I actually would be very careful to say, oh, the new thing has to be crap because it's new.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I could see a lot of other reasons, but security seems to be a very weird reason to go in there.
Well, it's also, we are a Debian-based distribution, so we have an established procedure to provide security updates, and this would simply be difficult for this at this early stage, because, well, there is no process.